Bibles with me, or just write it down and look at it later, to Hosea chapter 6. Hosea 6. And begin to read with verse, I'm going to read verse number 3. And the Word of God says, "Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning. And he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter in the former rain unto the earth." And one of the things the Father wants you and I to understand today is that he knows each and every one of us. There is nothing hidden to him. Before him, we are an open book. But what the God is desiring for you and I is to get to know him. If we follow on to know the Lord, it's just like the day when it comes, when the sun rises and there's a brand new day. Every day is a new day with him. Nothing gets old and nothing is boring. I've always found that the walk with the Lord is exciting. There's never a dull moment. Amen? And so God wants you to understand today that he's called each and every one of us with purpose, on purpose, for purpose. Amen? Again, he's called you with purpose. He called you on purpose and for purpose. In other words, Jesus said, "You haven't chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I've ordained you that you may go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit may remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he give it you. He may give it you." Amen. So understand that God has a purpose for each and every one of our lives. The key is we get out of his purpose on our own purpose and we get out of line, but his love constantly draws us back. Amen? Amen. He doesn't come to condemn anybody. He comes today to love you right where you're at and to let you know that he loves you so much that he has greater plans for you than you have revelation and understanding of. Amen? He wants to share something with our hearts and lives today so we'll look at things a little differently. So today's text is found in Philippians chapter 3. And I'll begin and read verse number 9. The Apostle Paul's writing to the church at Philippi. And he said, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." In Hebrews 11, the Word of God says, Abraham's faith was counted unto him for righteousness because he believed God. In other words, our righteousness comes when we believe God at his word. When we sang a song a little while ago, "Sickness has to leave," it only will leave by faith. Amen? We have to believe God. And verse number 10 is where we want to go today. "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." The title of this morning's message is Progressing with Purpose. Three things we're going to look at today is to resurrect, to relate, and to resolve. Amen? Can we lift our word together in the house today and let's make a declaration? Well, Pastor, why do you do that? Because we're coming into agreement on God's word. Amen? So repeat after me and say, "I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I can have everything God said I could have. I could be who God said I could be. I could do what God said I could do. Today I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word. We're grateful for you sending it here today to accomplish what you sent it to do. Now, Father, I just pray right now, Father God, Holy Spirit, speak through me. May the words that proceed out of this mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer in the room. You've sent your word to bring life in the abundance thereof. So, Father, we're rejoicing in everything you're going to accomplish today. So you can just say, Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I apologize. I got distracted for a moment because I'm so connected to my wife. When she wasn't here, it was something that was different. I was wondering where my honey was. We celebrated 42 years of bliss this week. Amen. I'm one blessed man. Amen. God gave me the best of the litter. Amen. Nothing against you, Tammy. It was the best one for me. Hallelujah. Her sister was snarling over there. But the first thing I want to talk to you about is, you know, he says the power of the resurrection. And so many times we look at the future resurrection when the dead in Christ shall raise and those who are alive shall be caught up in the air to ever meet the Lord in the air. But God's the God of resurrection today. Amen. He's the God that gives us life and the abundance thereof. That word to resurrect means to revitalize or to revive. How many of these to be revitalized? Let's be honest. How many are going weary? Are they tired? Or it just seems like sometimes it just seems to be too much and things seem to be overbearing and, man, I need some help. You know what? Hallelujah. The helper's here today. Amen. The Holy Ghost is here today. Because God said when we gather together that he would be here. So we know he's here. Amen. And he's here to do something in our hearts and lives. And I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. Amen. Is it okay to get excited about Jesus? Amen. Hey, if we're revitalized, if we're revived, there's some excitement that comes. Nobody wants to come to a dead place. Amen. Amen. Okay, so let's look at this first. We're going to look at to resurrect. And a great example of that, Jesus gives us an example in Luke chapter 15. Luke 15. There's the account of the lost son, the prodigal, that left his dad and went and wasted his living, wasted his wealth on riotous living, the word says. But the Bible says that he came to himself. In other words, I've got to come to the place where I see the direction I was going, there is no future there. If I can't come to that place, amen, if this prodigal never came to that place, he would have never returned to his father. Amen. The world has a way of making things look so pretty, but all it is a bunch of destruction and hurt and pain. Hallelujah. And the things that people think that will make them happy never bring joy. Never bring real joy. They may bring some fleshy joy, but not the joy that the Lord has for you. But Jesus made this statement in verse number 24. He said, "For this my son was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is in John 11 where Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this?" In other words, Jesus said, there's a resurrection now, and there's a resurrection in the future. See, Jesus wants you and I as children of God to have Zoe life, to have abundance of life. Amen? So with that in mind, in Romans chapter 8, Verse number 11. The word of God says this. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Quicken comes from the Greek word zoupoio. And zoupoio means to make alive. Hello? In other words, he come to give life and life in abundance. Amen? So when we're looking at the resurrection, the power of the resurrection, we're looking at the power to have life in abundance now. Amen? He says in Colossians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, he says this, as a child of God, you were buried with him in baptism. In other words, when you were baptized, this represented a grave. Amen? Aren't you glad that God just didn't say you had to be buried under the earth? He allowed us to be buried temporarily in the water. Amen? I know when I was a young man, when I was baptized, and I still didn't follow the Lord like I should. I bet you my father wished he'd have kept me down just a little bit longer. So maybe that old man would have died. and so I could put on that new man. But he says in verse number 12, we're buried with him in baptism, wherein you are also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who have raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have been quickened together, zoupoio, made alive with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. Man, I don't know about you, but that makes me feel pretty good. That I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, that old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That I was given a clean slate. Amen. That my sins were removed as far as the east is the west, never to be remembered again. And let me say this to you, church. Baptism does not save you. Jesus saves you. But the baptism is an outward expression of what took place on the inside. And it's a command of the Lord that you be baptized. And if you haven't been baptized, you need to be baptized. And if you'd like to be baptized, see me. Sometimes people need to be redunked again. Because the first time they were baptized, they never made him Lord. They just picked him up as Savior. There's a difference between him being your Savior or your Lord. The Lord is, I'm giving him control. I know in my life, it was like this. Every Easter, I would go to my daddy's church, and I'd pick up Jesus. I kind of went that to honor daddy. But after I left, it lasted for maybe a day or two. I went back to the same old man. Amen. It was like I was driving down life's highway and Jesus was on the side of the road. I pulled over and picked him up and he came in and rode with me. But then when I didn't want to follow him anymore, I pulled over and let him out. But on October the 12th, 1997, there was something different. On that day, Jesus was along the road. I pulled over, but that day I slid over and I gave him the wheel. I made him the Lord of my life, and then everything began to change. Amen. In other words, God wants us to have life in the fullness thereof. Amen. He's given us a helper. He's given us an advocate. He's given us the Holy Ghost. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. I couldn't do it without the Holy Ghost. You couldn't do it without the Holy Ghost. None of us could do it without the Holy Ghost. And the problem we have is you've got to be in him to have the Holy Ghost. Because if you're not in him, he's not living in you. Hello? So to have that benefit, the advocate, that helper, we need to be in him and him in us. Amen? So he said that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. Oh, I don't like that part. They don't let me cut it out. to relate, or to be in union with him and his suffering. So let me say this to you. The Father never promised any of us that we wouldn't go through troubles. But what he promises us that we won't go through the trouble alone. So with this in mind, that we're in fellowship with his sufferings, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I love this word that the Apostle Paul speaks here to the church at Corinth. The verse number 7. And he says this, he says, "In our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye were partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation." Wait a minute. "And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation." Now, the consolation, listen to me. The consolation is the comfort that comes after disappointment. The comfort that comes after disappointment is consolation. That's the definition of consolation, okay, if you would look into Webster's dictionary. So, and we're looking at the comfort that comes after disappointment. How many has faced any disappointment? Come on. How many have been looking for something they haven't seen yet? Come on. God says, hey, with the sufferings, there comes also consolation. Amen. That he is going to comfort us in and through it. In Hebrews chapter 11, you want to preach this morning? Me, Aaliyah? Hallelujah. Half the congregation said, we'd rather listen to her. Not really. Hallelujah. For this point, fellowship, koinonia, union with. We're union with the suffering of the Lord. It comes from the Greek word koinonia, fellowship. In verse number 24, the word of God says in Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sins for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." Hallelujah. It's all good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Remember in Psalms 34, the word of God says this. It says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all." Amen? 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 That doesn't mean that you won't go through the fire, but he'll deliver you out of the fire. Amen? If our trust and our hope is in him. Remember, we're trusting the Lord with all of our heart. We're leading not to our own understanding. And all of our ways, we're acknowledging him. And he's directing us. He's giving us guidance and direction. Amen. So in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 10, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. What we're looking at is that we get to know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and the fellowship of his sufferings to relate to them. The Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 10, "But the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." In other words, what is the Apostle Paul saying here? He's saying that the thing that you're going through is to help perfect you. And in the midst of it, God is establishing something in you. He'll strengthen you in and through it. And it'll be a settled matter when it's over. Amen? So if he looks at this, he says, okay, he's going to perfect the work that he's doing in me. He's establishing something in my life that's going to help strengthen me. That I'll settle the matter when I'm facing Satan. And I'll be able to give God all the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 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 In other words, we have this thing. Jesus wants you and I to understand. Jesus wants you and I to understand that the power of his resurrection, he came to give us life and the abundance thereof. That we're in fellowship with his sufferings, just as Jesus suffered in this world. We're going to suffer in this world, but we're not going to suffer alone. And then he says, being made conformable unto his death. Ow, I don't like that part. And that's what happens in that baptism tank. When you go down, there's a representation of dying. All right? And, you know, we're not conformed to this world. We're being transformed by the renewing of our mind that we may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So he says here, this brings to resolve means to bring into harmony. The harmony of change. In other words, I'm coming in harmony with the Lord and his word. Have you ever sing that song, In My Heart There Rings a Melody? You know that song?
Uh-huh. I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. 'Tis a melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of love.
Hallelujah. Amen. So now, but we're going to come in harmony with what? In other words, if we truly want to have the life of Christ, we have to come in harmony with his death. Are you with me? This isn't me. It's God's word. So look with me in Romans chapter 6, and let's see what God says here. Verse number 1. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Amen. To expand on this a little further, look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul put it like this. Verse 11. No, verse 11, yeah. We'll start with verse number 10. He says, always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Amen. In other words, if we're going to live the resurrected life, We're going to have fellowship. We're going to be in fellowship with his sufferings. We're going to be conformable into his death. Amen. We're going to resolve or be in harmony with it. Amen. One of the things the Lord reminded me, sometimes when people do things or say things or there's actions people take, and all of a sudden I begin to take offense. And the Lord says to me, he says, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm bothered by that. And he just says to me, dead people can't take offense. If we're truly dead in Christ, you can't offend a dead man. Go to the grave and try to offend somebody. It ain't going to work. Amen? Are anybody with me today? Did I miss anybody at the curve? I didn't want to leave everybody back at the curve. All right? We're all on a journey together. Amen? We're all for the same thing. God has something he wants to do with every heart and every life in this room today. Amen? And he wants you to know that God has a plan, and his plan is good. Even though you may have a plan, God says he wants you to change your plan and get in accord with his plan. Because his plan is better for you because he sees everything out there. You only see right here. He sees eternity. He sees it all. He sees it and he sees it and he knows everything you're going through. And there's nothing that's going to catch you by surprise. No, thank you. Amen. We got. Okay. Are you a commercial? I've seen that on TV. Domino's. Amen. For me to know you. Amen. In other words, see, you stole my thought. That's okay. Thank you for that. No, you didn't. You're just dusty. Right.
And then obviously you can't be offended by little sin.
Right.
It's dead.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is people take offense from people all the time.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
And the Lord just reminds me, if I'm crucified with Christ and nevertheless I live, not I live, but Christ that lives in me. In other words, Christ doesn't take offense at them. In other words, I'm dead, so I don't take offense, amen? Because when I take offense, I respond in a negative way, okay?
That part of your life is dead.
That part is dead. Okay. We're living a new life. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And the thing about the new, church, is one thing about the new is the new represents change. And nobody likes change. We get so used to doing things and we get habits of doing things. This is just the way we do things. But then all of a sudden the Father says, okay, now I want you to go here and start this way. And it's not comfortable. And when change isn't comfortable, what God says, I'll be your helper. I'll be there to give you the strength. He says he is our strength in our weakness. All right? His strength is made perfect in our weakness. So if we could do it, we wouldn't need him. Amen. So, hey, you know what? I'm total dependent. Amen. I'm total dependent. I bet you my parents couldn't wait till I got out of the house and that I wouldn't be dependent on them any longer. But my Father doesn't want me to leave his house. Amen. He's going to supply all my need according to his riches and glory for all my life. Amen. Amen. He wants us to be dependent on him. I don't know about you, but I need him more every day. Amen. I need more of him and less of me. So with this in mind, the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, everybody with me? The Apostle Paul said this. I just quoted it a minute ago, but I'll go ahead and finish it. He said, I am crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen?
Amen.
So in closing today, to sum this up, the Apostle Paul to his student Timothy and 2 Timothy, verse number 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 11, he says this. He says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abided faithful. He cannot deny himself. You know, what the Lord is saying here is says, for by grace, you and I are saved by faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. So in closing today, what is he saying to you and I? He's simply saying to us that, hey, God wants us to know him and the power of his resurrection to resurrect us, to give us life now, and the fellowship of his sufferings, to relate that as Christ suffered, we will suffer also. He said, you're going to be persecuted in this world. He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And the resolve means I'm being conformable to his death. I've got to let myself die to be a new creation. I can't pick him up as an additive. He's the main course. Amen? What this calls from you and I, it calls for a response. He says, I bring you resurrected life. I want you to relate, and you can relate to what you're going through. I've given you the resolve. Now I ask you to respond. And the response is simply this, that whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. And if you haven't received him, or if you're not in the place you need to be, there's no better time than today. This is the day the Lord has made. This is the hour. This is the time. This is the time that God has called and ordained you to be sitting here today. And with that comes salvation, comes healing. Sozo healing, body, mind, soul, and spirit. Isn't it awesome that God has that in this great big world that we live in, that God has a plan in every heart and every life of each and every one? Hallelujah. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word. Pump that sound up a little bit. I can't hear it. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you for sending your word to accomplish what you sent it here to do. If you're here this morning and you're not in a relationship with Jesus, you know about him, but you can say, Pastor, I'm just not in that relationship with him I need to be. Would you slip up your hand and say, Pastor, I need Jesus. Is there anybody at all? I see their hand. You may put it down. Is there another one here? Pastor, I'm not at the place I need to be. I really haven't died to myself, Pastor. I see their hand. You may put it down. Is there another one here today? I see that hand. You may put it down. Is there another one here today? Hallelujah. Can we all just stand together? If you can stand, stand. If you can't, that's okay. I cannot save anybody. Jesus is the Savior. I cannot heal anybody. Jesus is the healer. I cannot restore anybody. Jesus is the restorer. And what I'm going to do is that we're going to pray as a congregation. Maybe you raised your hand, maybe you didn't, but it's so important that you pray this prayer. And you pray this prayer with your heart. This isn't just about words. This is about making a decision to follow Jesus. So can we pray together? Say, dear Jesus, come into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. I acknowledge that you died on the cross. You arose from the grave. You paid the penalty for my sins. You purchased me a place in heaven. Lord, forgive me all my sins. Help me not to sin any longer. Come into my heart. I thank you, Jesus, for saving me and keeping me and making me whole. Now, Lord, I pray that you give me the Holy Spirit so that my salvation will be sealed. I thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in my life this very day. And I know that old things are going to pass away, and behold, all things are become new. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.